desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon. There is so much good to continue with Psalms 23, but that's not the burden the Lord had put on my heart to share this afternoon. Written on the board, and you can read that one of two ways, and either way would be correct. Two prayers, two prayers. I'd like to talk about two prayers this afternoon over in the book of Luke. In Luke in the 18th chapter, there is a familiar story that the Lord just wanted us to be reminded of something this afternoon. Luke in the 18th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, when we read the parables of Christ, it's always good to get oriented. Number one, who is Jesus speaking to? And what is the purpose for the parable? Because parables, there's a lot of symbolism in parables and in stories that Jesus told. And to be able to keep us in the right path, we need to recognize the audience and the purpose. For example, when Jesus told the parable of the unjust judge, Jesus was not teaching a lesson that God was unjust. His purpose was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so he illustrated it with an unjust judge. So in this parable that Jesus told, he spoke from the beginning, he gave his audience, who he was speaking to. He was speaking to people that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And they despise others. Twofold thing. So that's the audience, it's very clear. And the purpose of why Jesus told this parable was to show us the path of true justification before God. So it seems like that's still pretty important today. If we want to be justified in the eyes of God and we want God to exalt us in life, this parable addresses how to get there. So I would say it's pretty important. So the characters of this parable were very well known at the time. He told us a story about a Pharisee and about a publican. He said two men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. So just as a little background to remind us, the Pharisees, remember, were people that generally were very righteous in their outward observances of the ceremonial law. They were very careful about washing their hands before they ate. They were very careful about the clothes that they wore. They were very careful about tithing. Very careful about keeping the Sabbath. Very careful about fasting. Very careful about praying. And we would say those are some really good things to be careful of. But as a people, as a group of people, again, it was a sect of the Jews, they measured themselves very often to an outward standard, and they tended as a people to judge themselves and despising people around them. You're not keeping the law. That's why they got onto the disciples. And Jesus, because they said, your disciples are eating with unwashed hands. In other words, we're more righteous than that because we're more careful in our observances. I dare say that the Pharisees were probably, they were one of the strictest groups of Jews. And in that sense, it was good. They wanted to do what the law of Moses said. The problem with it was they started to miss the essence of what it really meant to serve God. And I would say today that because of our adversary, there is a danger for some people to fall into that same area. It's important to follow the commandments of the New Testament. And yes, there are commands in the New Testament. There are things that we are to observe. There are outward standards that as a people, we should observe and we should follow. But there have been people, there have been congregations, and there have been groups right among people professing to be Church of God that fell into the trap that the Pharisees fell in. in their pursuit of carefulness, they lost the essence of what it meant to have a relationship with God. And there are people today that can have the same, can the same thing. So this is just a caution to us today. Now some, the Pharisees, if there were some Pharisees here, some Church of God Pharisees here today, their reaction to what I've already said would, well, you need to be talking about worldliness. That's more of a problem. That is what the modern day Church of God Pharisees' response would be to the message up to this point. Why are we wasting time talking about this when there's a lot of worldliness in the camp? And there is. But you know, the devil is not a respecter of persons, and he's going to come at us from both sides. He'll try to get us to be too worldly. We'll try to cause us in our pursuit of carefulness to lose the essence of our relationship with God. So, Jesus told the parable. The Pharisee tended to trust in their own outward conformity to the law. And in their origin, in, let's be clear, in its origin, the Pharisees were a pure and holy people. It was a pure and holy sect of the Jews. That was commendable. But it got a little bit twisted. And again, that was a generalization, because we find people like Nicodemus, we find people that had a, that were Pharisees, that had a heart to really know what it meant to serve the Lord. On the other hand, the publican was a Jew that worked for the Romans to collect taxes for the Roman government. And as a people, as a group, many of them were dishonest. That's not to say that every publican was a cheater, but as a group of people, they tended to collect more taxes than what they needed to, and then they pocketed it. Hence, we have the story of Zacchaeus. If I hit everybody I've wronged, I'm going to pay him back fourfold. In other words, I haven't been honest in my dealings. So the publicans were tended to be ostracized from the Jewish people because they were looked at as traitors. In this, in the Revolutionary War, what was it, the Tories? Is that right? Young people? It would have been the quote unquote people living in America that sided with the English. And they were viewed at with suspicion, and they were looked at as, you're kind of a traitor to who we are as Americans. Well, that's what the publicans were. So these two people went, these two prayers went into the temple to pray. And they prayed two very different prayers. And so Jesus in this parable contrasted the two different approaches that they had to God, keeping in mind that both of them were motivated to pray. All right? That's a good thing. Both of them were motivated to pray, but the motivation was a little different. The Pharisee was thanking God, whereas the publican was seeking God for his grace. So verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or really even as this publican here. I fast, Lord, don't forget, I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. You know that he was a good man in his observances, but he was missing something. And take note, and one of the commentators said something, I wrote it down, I'm going to read you what he said. It was Albert Barnes. He said, the publican, or the Pharisee rather, it said he did not profess to claim that he had made himself better than others. In other words, sometimes when we talk about self-righteousness, it's like you think you're better because you have more righteousness. The Pharisee here was thanking God for his righteousness. He wasn't saying, I myself am better. It's like, Lord, thank you for making me better than this other man. He said that he had a right to his gratitude for it. And I thought it was very noteworthy what he said next. Hypocrites are often the most orthodox in opinion of any class of people. They know the truth and they admit it. Have y'all ever known a Church of God hypocrite? Church of God, Pharisee. Now, hypocrite, you may say, well, I'm not the judge. I unfortunately have known some hypocrites. And they had high standing with some people. But I knew they were a hypocrite. You know, those are really hard funerals to take care of. I remember one of them, and I remember there were those that came to the funeral that just came to see what would be said. How are you going to handle this one? You know, ultimately it's God that handles those things, isn't it? Ultimately it's God that's the judge. But think about Church of God Pharisees for a moment. Do you think there are such? And giving God the credit. It's not that I don't think, I mean, I didn't do it, but Lord, thank you, I'm not like them. Thank you that I'm not worldly like they are. Lord, thank you. I don't dress that way. Thankful my children don't dress that way. I'm thankful why I don't go to those places. Lord, thank you for lifting me above them. There's something about that that just doesn't quite set right, isn't it? And he might have been sincere in his thanks. That's what makes it difficult, folks. Because I don't want to be an extortioner. I don't want to be like these. He said, what did he say? Extortioners, adulterers, even as this publican. We don't want to do those things. But folks, there's something that has to go beyond the things that we do and don't do. And that's what Jesus was contrasting here. The 2 Corinthians, before we read on, 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter in the 12th verse says, we dare not make ourselves of the number that compare ourselves or commend themselves by measuring themselves by themselves or comparing themselves among themselves. Now that starts to get a little, you know, the words start to run together pretty on that scripture. In essence, what he's saying is, we better not make ourselves, he said, we dare not. It's not wise to measure yourself by people around you. And he's not just talking about people in the world, in the church. It is not wise to measure your life to someone else's. Now, take note of examples, be challenged by people, but when we begin to think that we are righteous because we are living on a little different plane than those in the congregation or others in the body of Christ, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And so it was a warning here. Let's not be like the Pharisee who is trusting in the righteous, in his righteous works. So Lord, help us not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Be challenged, but look to your personal walk with God. That's what he's trying to bring out. He went on to say then, the publican standing afar off would not lift up his eyes, so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Pharisee had sin in his life. And when he came into the presence of God, he didn't cover it up. Folks, he that covers his sin will not prosper. If we cover things up, we're not going to prosper. But if we confess, that's who the Lord has mercy on. So the Pharisee then came and the publican acknowledged the need that he had. And so I ask us this afternoon, who are we supposed to be like? Are we supposed to be like the Pharisee or the publican here? Which one are we supposed to be like? See, there were two prayers offered. There were two prayers. Which of those prayers are we supposed to be like? I think some of both, right? I think some of both. The Lord does not want us to live in sin. And every time we come into his presence saying, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I acknowledge I'm a sinner and Lord, I'm sorry and I don't have anything to offer in of myself. But the Lord wants us to have the attitude in the mentality all the time that we are dependent upon the grace of God to enable us to live without sin and never get complacent where we fall back in trust in our own righteousness. Coming into the presence of God with a spirit of self-righteousness that I have done this and this and this, hence I'm acceptable before God. The Lord accepts people who are of an humble and of a contrite spirit. Folks, for us to get saved, it took humility, and for us to stay saved, for us to have the presence of the Lord anointing our life, it's going to take a daily recognition that, Lord, I am desperately in need of the help of the Lord. I don't have any righteousness of my own. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, would you have mercy on me today? Young people, if you will learn that lesson, you will find the more consistent victory in your life. But people that start to trust in, I've done A, B, C, and D, and I'm living at a high standard. I've seen it happen in the church. I've seen it happen in congregations, that they begin to lose that real close anointing from the Lord. And I have to recognize this is the reason. And that's why Jesus dealt with this. He went on to say, then Jesus addressed it. He said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So if we want to be exalted this afternoon, number one, follow what the Bible teaches real carefully. But let's not forget the spirit in which we are to follow it. It's a spirit of humility. Because remember, Jesus told the Pharisees, and you can read it in Matthew chapter 23, but he talked about the scribes and the Pharisees as making the outside white. You know, a whited sepulcher. They made it look real good on the outside. But he said, inside you're full of dead men's bones. Do you know what the counterpart to amongst our body today that would be? Because Jesus didn't tell them don't give up the outside, but he said, cleanse thou first what is inside. So this would be the parallel today. Jesus coming along and saying, you know what? You all are so careful about modesty. You know, you're spending a lot of time. You don't want to be like the world. And you're doing things that you say, okay, I've got faith in God because I don't go here and I don't do this. And you're careful about what you bring or don't bring into your homes. And you're so careful on the outside. You know, you're dressed modestly, but you know what? The inside just isn't what it's supposed to be. Do you know, if we're not careful, we can fall into that. And again, the Pharisees, the modern day Pharisees' response to that is, Brother Michael, that we've got a bigger issue with worldliness. Well, we want to be aware of how the devil's working on both sides. Because I notice what tends to happen, and I'll just, as your pastor, I will tell you that this is happening today. There are too many that are veering off to the world, that are getting too careless in their carefulness, and the reaction that some has is to become a little bit standoffish and despiteful and to elevate themselves, and it creates a spirit of self-righteousness, and it's a response to worldliness. We don't want to go there. And then those that are going, and then this is what tends to happen, those that are starting to get a little bit worldly, look on those that may be outwardly doing what we all ought to be doing and are being careful with it, and they look at that, and then they tie it with an attitude of self-righteousness and say, I don't want anything to do with that. You dress like that, everybody that does that, look, they're self-righteous. And they get this, we're holier than thou attitude. Both of those are wrong, saints. They're both wrong. And the Lord he told me so clearly, he brought to me that we can live righteously without being self-righteous. Hold the standard high. Stay close to God. Be careful in the things you do and how you live your life. But don't lose the humility and the recognition that, Lord, it's only by your grace. And that means then that we won't get to this place that we start looking down on others. It doesn't mean we won't recognize where there's error, but there is a spirit of self-righteousness. And that was Christ's warning. He said, the sinner went home justified because he found a place of humility. How much better for there to be a third prayer in this mix that came and said, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for saving me. And Lord, by your grace, I want to be careful in how I live my life. Lord, I don't want to go towards the world, and I don't want to yield to the flesh. But Lord, I need you today. I need your mercy and I need your grace. That is where the Lord wants us to live. So, Lord, help us not to be self-righteousness. Let's not forget today where the real blessings of the Lord lie. And it lies in an humble prayer, in an humble life, at the same time that's keeping very close to God and being careful in the decisions they make. Because Ephesians chapter 2, and be a good place to conclude, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace, what? Are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It doesn't matter how righteous we might be on the outside, saints. We are saved by grace. Because the carnal man can come in and carnal woman can come in and they can doctor up the outside and they can dress holy and look holy and don't do certain things, but it doesn't change the inside. Salvation is a work of God. We are saved by grace. We're not saved by works. But then the scripture goes on. Then it says, but ye were created unto good works. So once I've been saved by grace, and I know it's not my works that save me, it is that grace that prompts us to follow through and have good works in our life. So we want to be sure to put first things first. And the first thing we need to do is maintain a spirit of humility. And if you see your brother or sister going towards the world, be careful, recognize what's happening. And don't excuse it, don't justify it, but be there to show them that you can still live a righteous life without being self-righteous. You can still have a sweet attitude. You can still love them when they've gone astray. And you know, we need to have that same mentality to the self-righteous among us. You know, sometimes it's easier to be a little more long-suffering for those that are compromising a little bit. We need to show them a better way. Do you know that the modern-day Pharisee needs someone that can show them you can still live a godly life and a life of carefulness separated from the world, but you can still do it in humility with a loving attitude without despising the people around you. So just a little reminder, let's not forget. Let's go this week and let's do what the scripture teaches us. Amen.